Will you pray with me? Oh Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, blessed be your name. Lord, in good times, in bad times, in times of blessing and sunshine, in times of suffering and turmoil, Lord, help us to know that you use all things for your purposes and for the good of those who love you. Lord, help us to trust you, to stand firm in our faith even when we're tested. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen. Today we're looking at Matthew chapter 4, and it's interesting that right before this, we're kind of jumping around because of Lent, Jesus was baptized. He was baptized in the Jordan River, and the heavens opened up, the Spirit of God descended as a dove, and God the Father's voice said, "This is my beloved Son, with him I am well pleased." You can imagine this mountaintop experience for Jesus as he begins his ministry, going from obscurity, a carpenter in a little town of Nazareth, now being launched into his ministry throughout Judea. But before that ministry begins, we find Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, where it says something that kind of, you look close, it's really, is this what it means? It says that after Jesus was baptized, he was led up by who? The Holy Spirit into the wilderness to experience what? Temptation. Don't we pray in the Lord's Prayer, Lord, lead us not into temptation, right? What's the Bible saying here? The Holy Spirit was leading him into temptation? You know, the Bible says that God tempts no one. And so maybe instead of thinking about this as the temptation of Jesus, really, is this more of a testing? Does God test us? Do we like taking tests? Do we like testing? But you think about God's relationship throughout the Bible. Does he use the circumstances of life and to test us, to test the people in the Bible to see, do you trust me? Will you follow me even, not when times are good, but even when times are rough and when the road is one of suffering? You know, one of the big examples of this is the example of Job in the Old Testament. It's one of those books where you scratch your head about that Satan's up in heaven with God, and God says, "Look at my servant Job. Isn't he the most righteous guy around?" And Satan says, well, it's because you blessed him so much. Anybody who has such an easy life and so much blessing, he's going to be thankful. And so God said, "All right, Satan, you can take everything away from him." So Satan, in one moment, his kids die. His animals are taken away. Everything that he has, possessions, except for his wife, is taken away. And Job says, you know, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We just sang that. And then Satan says, well, that's not all. Let me take away his health. And so his health is taken away. Would Job curse God? It's kind of like Job is being tested, all right? His character, his faith. And in the end, Job stood vindicated against his friends who said, you know, you're a sinner, just repent. And Job went to God with his just, God, why? I don't get it. And God answers, well, I'm God and you're not. Trust me. And so Job wrestled with his testing before God. But not only does Satan sometimes test, sometimes God tests us. Sometimes God tests people in the Old Testament. When you think about the life of Abraham, what did God ask Abraham to do? God said, Abraham, you're going to have a son, and from him you're going to have a great nation. He had Isaac in his old age. Then what did God ask Abraham to do with Isaac? Kill him. Okay. Not a temptation, but a test. Are you willing to sacrifice what you cherish and love most to show that you love me more? and Abraham had this faith that even if Isaac died, that God would somehow provide another seed, another child, or raise Isaac back up. Abraham had this amazing faith that God would provide. And God did provide. He provided a ram to be sacrificed so that Isaac wasn't sacrificed. Or you think about the people of Israel. They were led out of the bondage and the slavery in Egypt. But in that wilderness, they got to the promised land and they said, ooh, they look too big. We could never go there. And so they wandered in the desert for 40 years, a time of testing, a time where God said, trust me to provide, whether it was through manna or quail or water. But the people of God rebelled, and they questioned, and they complained. And so there were consequences. Do you think in the Bible, does God test us? Why? Why would God test us? Why would God sometimes put hardship in our lives that doesn't make sense to us? God often uses times of testing to prepare us for something greater, for something better, for something more than what we can ask for or imagine. For Jesus, he was being prepared to launch into a full ministry. For Jesus, it was a time for him to say no to the shortcuts, to say, God, I'm willing to go on the path, even if it leads through the cross. I'm willing to do whatever pleases you, Lord. For you and I, we're tested, sometimes in our faith. And it's one of the hardest things for us as Christians to see each other suffering. And yet, do you believe that God has a purpose that is bigger than what we can see in our moment, that God can use and create good even out of the toughest circumstances of our life? Can God do that? He has in the past. He is now. He will in the future. That's who God is. He has a plan and a purpose beyond sometimes a upper story that we don't always get. And so God says, trust me. I've got this. I've got you. You know, sometimes you might be thinking, well, Pastor, why should God test us? We accept tests in a lot of other areas. Like at school, as a parent, what would you think of a teacher that didn't give tests to your kids? How do you measure how well they're doing? How do you know they're ready for the next grade? They're ready for the next thing. And so tests are a part of preparing for what is next. Before you become a lawyer or a doctor, what do you have to do? Pass the test to make sure that you can do your job in a way that you help people and not hurt people. Or what about do any parents of 15 or 16-year-olds? What do you have them do before they hit the roads in their car? They take a driver's test, right? So that they can launch into what is next. And so the same way God uses tests to launch us into a closer relationship with himself, to launch us into a new journey, a new level of saying, all right, God, I don't understand this. I don't like this, but God, I know you've got this. I trust in you. In fact, so often, we like the invitation that God gives us. He invites us into a relationship. He invites us saying, you're forgiven. You're loved. I love you so much. But in this challenge, God is saying, I love you too much to leave you the way you're at. I want you to grow. I want to stretch you. I want to challenge you. Are you ready? And that's where it's hard. How do we respond when life doesn't go the way that we want it to go? How do we respond when we have a person at work that we really don't like? How do we respond when it seems that we're giving more in our marriage than we're receiving? How do we respond where, just out of the blue, bad stuff happens in the lives of good people? God is saying, come and see what I'm about to do. Trust me. I've got this. And so in the testing of Jesus, he faced three temptations. One was to satisfy self. He was really hungry to turn this piece of the stone into a piece of bread instead of trusting God. And remember what Jesus said? Man doesn't live on bread alone, but on what? Every word that comes from God. And then Jesus was tempted to kind of spiritually showboat, all right? Just throw yourself off the temple and God will catch you. Then everybody will know who you are. Kind of the spiritual shortcut. But Jesus said, I'm not going to do that. Don't put God to the test. God has a plan. I'm going to trust in God's plan. And then Satan brought Jesus up to the mountaintop and said, the easy path is just bow down and worship me, and then I'll let you rule everything that you can see. And Jesus said, worship the Lord alone, not this world, not Satan, not myself. Worship God alone. Jesus took this attitude not only when he was tempted, but even to the Garden of Gethsemane. Before he was betrayed and arrested, before he was put on trial, there on his knees, do you remember what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane? Lord, not my will be done, but yours. Is that a tough prayer? I'd love to be God. I'd love to tell exactly how things should be. But God says he invites us into a closer relationship with himself. Trust me. Walk me. Even when it leads to the cross. Jesus went to the cross because all too often we don't pass the test. All too often those times of testing, those times of temptation come and we give in because the spirit may be willing, but the flesh is so weak. That's why Jesus died, because we can't do it. And so God says, I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to be perfect. I'm going to suffer and die on your behalf. The penalty that we deserve to pay, the consequences for all our imperfections, were placed on Jesus. So that now, being paid for through his suffering, his death, his resurrection, we may share in his new life. As we heard in the Old Testament, Adam failed his test. He sinned and broke God's command, and brought sin and suffering and death into this world. But Jesus passed his test. Jesus completed the work God gave him to do, and because Jesus fulfilled the law, he offers freedom, life, and forgiveness for all who trust in him. For following Jesus is the way to live, to love him, to obey him. And so I want to challenge you this week, as whatever circumstances that you are in, approach it with the understanding that God is at work, calling you, leading you, inviting you into a closer relationship with himself. Ask God, what do you want me to learn? What are you doing in my life to stretch me, to grow me? God, what are you saying? But then also ask God to know how to respond. For the spirit, the strength, the boldness to resist temptation, to stand firm in our faith even when we're tested, that together we may stand with Jesus, not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus has done for us. May we trust him through good times and bad times. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, blessed be your name. Lord, sometimes it's easy to say that when life is going good. But when life is challenging, when relationships are broken, when we face the consequences of our sin, when we stand face to face against death, Lord, it's hard sometimes to say blessed be your name. Lord, give us the faith to know that you are working somehow good in all circumstances, that when we stand strong, even when we're tested, that you strengthen our faith, that you draw us to a closer relationship with you. Lord, may that be what we desire more than anything else, to love you with our heart, soul, strength, and mind, so that we may love our neighbor as ourself. Empower us, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to follow you, to love you, to serve you, to obey you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.